All right, we're beginning here 18 lines from the bottom of Nun Zayin Amud Bet. We have a braita from the Tosefta, Tanur Banan. Minayin the male mi basar chatat, umi basar asham, umi basar kodshei kodoshim, umi kodshim kalim. So over here you have a braita discussing items that are normally eaten by the Kohanim, but instead you're going to put them on the Mizbeach. So included in this are the basar chatat, which is normally given or eaten by the Kohanim, similarly the basar asham, basar kodshei hakodoshim. Always note that they already noted the kodshei kodeshim that are eaten, so this usually includes shamei tzibur, which are the shlamim that are brought, the kivsei atzeret on Shavuot, kodshim kalim, which are either eaten by the balim or by the kohanim, umimatar ha-omer, the leftovers of the omer after the kometz is put on the mizbeach, umimotar shtei alechem, and the shtei alechem, basically, because everything about the shtei alechem is motar. After the kibtzei atzeret are brought, the shtei alechem are eaten by the kohanim. Milechem apanim, after the bezichei levona are put on the mizbeach, the lechem apanim belong to the kohanim to eat. Umishayrei aminachot, and any leftovers or residuals of a mincha from which a kometz was removed. All of these items are normally eaten by the kohanim. What happens if you put them on the mizbeach? How do you know shehu belo taseh? How do you know that there's a restriction against placing them on the mizbeach? Tomalomar, the pasuk says, "Kichol soor v'chol devash lo taptiru mimenu ishe laHashem." So we've discussed this numerous times. It's somewhat taken out of context the way the pasuk is being read, which is kol mincha shetakriv lo Hashem. So any mincha that's brought to Hashem, lo te'aseh chametz, you can't make it chametz. Ki, the reason being, kichol soor v'chol devash lo taptiru mimenu ishe laHashem, because no soor devash can end up on the mizbeach. And from here, Chazal learn the diuk that they make out of the pasuk is kol shehu mimenu liishim. Anything that has a portion that ends up on the pyre, harehu bebal taktiru, has a restriction against being placed on the mizbeach. So meaning that they re-parse the pasuk to say instead of lo taktiru mimenu ishel Hashem, they're saying that mimenu ishel Hashem lo taktiru. Anything that is a portion that goes on the mizbeach, the residual, the remainder, may not end up on the mizbeach. And therefore, there's a lav against putting any of these items on the mizbeach, because they all have some portion that ended up on the mizbeach, and they are now eaten either by the balim or the kohanim, and for that reason, they can't end up on the mizbeach. There's a lav against putting them on the mizbeach. Amara asks, Ushte alechem velechem apanim yesh mehen liishim. So this was what I noted in the middle of what we were saying in the Braita. There are really two things here that are exceptional or different than all the other items listed. In all the other items that are listed, a portion of that item ends up on the mizbeach. Talking about a chatat, the fats of the chatat end up on the mizbeach. And Hashem, similarly, the fats end up on the mizbeach. The basar is eaten by the kohanim. A mincha, the kometz, ends up on the mizbeach. The residual of the mincha is eaten by the kohanim. So those are items where a portion ends up on the mizbeach. Portion, the remainder, the residual is eaten by the kohanim. By shtei lechem, I mentioned the shtei lechem are entirely eaten by the kohanim. And similarly, the lechem apanim are entirely eaten by the kohanim. The bezichei levona by the lechem apanim are put on the mizbeach, but the lechem apanim in themselves, nothing ends up on the mizbeach. The entirety of the 12 lechemim that are on the shulchan apanim are eaten by the kohanim. And similarly, the shtei lechem, nothing of the shtei lechem ends up in the mizbeach. And that's what the Gemara's question is. How could it be that shtei lechem and lechem apanim are included in this list? They don't have anything that ends up on the pyre. Vatanya, don't we have a braita yatsu shtei lechem lechem apanim, she'ein mahem li'ishim? We have another braita in which we exclude shtei lechem and lechem apanim from a limud because they don't have anything that goes on the pyre. So you see, that's a character trait of these items, is that they don't have any portion that ends up in the mizbeach. So Amar Rav Sheshet, ein migufo liishim. Braita that we just quoted that says that shtei alechem and lechem panim are different. It's not that nothing of them ends up in the mizbeach, but ein migufo. Nothing of them inherently ends up in the mizbeach, but they are correlated with another item that does end up on the mizbeach. So that's the distinction or the character trait of shtei alechem lechem panim is nothing from them themselves ends up in the mizbeach. But they have a partner or they have something that's connected to them that ends up in the mizbeach. By the lechem apanim, it's the bezichei levona, which are integral to the lechem apanim. They end up on the mizbeach. And by the shtei alechem, it's the kivsei atzeret that are brought along with the shtei alechem that are put on the mizbeach. So you're right, nothing from them inherently ends up on the mizbeach, but they have a matir that ends up in the mizbeach. And that matir is what is mimenu ishel Hashem, and therefore they have a restriction against being put on the mizbeach. Itmar have a machloket amoraim. Hamale mikulam. Mikulam is a reference to what we just saw in the list, in the braita, the tosefta that we just brought, all those items that are not allowed to go on the mizbeach. What happens if you put them on gabe akevish? You put them onto the ramp of the mizbeach, not the mizbeach itself. Rabbi Yochanan amar chayav. Rabbi Yochanan says it's the equivalent of placing it onto the mizbeach, and you are chayav. Rabbi Elazar amar patur. Rabbi Elazar says, Rabbi Elazar is Talmud Chover, says you are patur. That's not like putting it on the mizbeach. And the Gemara is going to explain their positions right now as to what they darshan with the psukim. Rabbi Yochanan amar chayav. Ditanyo, ha-mizbeach. Ein li ala mizbeach. When it says ha-mizbeach, I would think that that's what it means. The mizbeach. Ha-kevesh min-ayin. How do I know that the ramp is also included? Tamalomar ve'ela mizbeach lo yalu l'ratzon, that they will not be accepted or they are not permitted to be placed on the mizbeach. Lazamar patur my taima damar kra seor v'drash kurban reshit takrivu otam otamu derabbi l'cha kevesh kemizbeach. Only those two items are included like kevesh the mizbeach avamidei achrin alo, but other items not. So what the reference to is here is a continuation of the psukim right after the pasuk that we brought as the limud. Just kol mincha shetakrivu l'Hashem lo taseh chametz ki chol sor v'chol dvash lo taktiru mimenu ishel Hashem. That's the limud that we had, that mimenu ishel Hashem lo taktiru, that you're not allowed to put them on the mizbeach. The subsequent pasuk says kurban reshit takrivu otam l'Hashem vela mizbeach lo yalu d'reach nicholach. So here is the restriction about putting them on the mizbeach. Now, it says there, kurban reshit. Kurban reshit is a reference to two kurbanot that are brought from seor and devash. One of them is reshit bikurim, the first of your fruits that you bring up to the mikdash on Shavuot, that do have a hakashat mizbeach. That's reshit bikurim, that's the devash, because the devash that we're speaking about over here is not devash devorim necessarily, it is devash tamarim, or dvash peirot, but it's sweetness or mitikut that comes from the peirot, that you cannot put on the mizbeach, but you can bring them as bikurim on Shavuot, that's the one exception. And the other exception for seor is reshit, which is the first of the lechem that you bring, or the shtei lechem that you bring on Shavuot, which are the first mincha that is brought in the mikdash, the mincha from wheat. Mincha from Seor is brought on Pesach, that's the Kurban HaOmer. But the Reshit, the first Mincha that's brought from wheat in the Mikdash, is on Shavuot, and that's the Shtei Alechem. So they are also a Reshit. So those are the two Reshits that are permitted. That's what it says here. Kurban Reshit Takrivu Otam Lashem. You cannot bring Seor Devash, put them on the Mizbeach, with the exception of Reshit. And I just gave you the two Reshits, they both happen on Shavuot. Then it says, Vela Mizbeach Lo Yalu D'Reach Nichoach. They may not be placed on Mizbeach. So this Ela Mizbeach Lo Yalu Yireach Nichoach, what is the antecedent of the Ela Mizbeach Lo Yalu Yireach Nichoach? So Rabbi Elazar says, well, the pasuk just said over here, it told you, Kurban Reshit Takriv Otam Lashem. Otam is a reference to the Seor and the Devash. That Otam is also what the latter part of the pasuk is speaking about, Ela Mizbeach Lo Yalu Yireach Nichoach. So the latter pasuk is referencing to the Seor and Devash. Now the word Mizbeach appears in the latter half of the pasuk, but also says, Ve'ela Mizbeach. On your way to the Mizbeach, or El can be a ribuy of sorts, and that includes the Kevesh. So what he says is that the restriction against putting items on the Kevesh, just like the Mizbeach, is solely a reference to Seor and Devash. That's where Kevesh equals Mizbeach. That's where Otam. Rabbi Yochanan, on the other hand, says that the Pasuk is a reference to, more broadly, that was which was mentioned before. The El Mizbeach Lo Yalu, the Reach Nichoach, is a reference to lo taktiru mimenu yishel Hashem. Anything that already has something yishel Hashem, lo taktiru mimenu, you can't put it on the mizbeach. And then the next pasuk says, lo mizbeach lo yalu l'reach nichoach. That's the mizbeach that was the reference in the earlier pasuk. And therefore, the ela mizbeach is a ribuy telling you that also kevesh is included in this case. So that's how Rabbi Yochanan learns it. And the question of ela mizbeach, lo yalu d'reach nicholach, is that a reference just to Seor Devash? Or is that a reference to anything that can't be put on the Mizbeach? Seor and Devash are just examples of that which can't be put on the Mizbeach. But there are other things that can't be employed on the Mizbeach, including that was mentioned at the end of the previous Pasuk. Things that have something Mishel Hashem can't be placed on the Mizbeach. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, those are also included in this restriction. So now, Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan, hai otam, my avidai. What does Rabbi Yochanan do with that otam? Pretty strong evidence for Rabbi Elazar that he's right, that the antecedent of Mizbeach Lo Yolareach Nichoach is otam, which is that the Pasuk's telling you what happens to otam. Reshit, you can't bring me otam. To the Mizbeach, you can't put on otam. Even the Bikurim and even the Shtei Alechem that are brought from the Reshit don't end up on the Mizbeach. They end up in the Mikdash. They have Hagashah the Mizbeach, but they never end up on the Mizbeach itself. So it seems to be that it's speaking about otam. So Gemara says, Mibayile, he needs it, the Kedet Tanya. He needs it for the following Braita. Yocho Yehe Yachid Mitnadev, Umevi Kiyotse Ban Nidava. Just like you have Bikurim and you have Shtei Alechem in the Mikdash that are brought as Korbanot, you would think that an individual could replicate that as a voluntary offering. V'koreh aniba, and I would then say about this, Motza Tzvatecha Tishmor V'asita, that which you articulate, that which you take as a neder, you have to keep and bring. Which means if you take a neder to bring such items to the Mikdash, you can bring them. Talmud Lomar, that's what the Pasuk says. Korban reshit takrivu, that they, takrivu is in plural. So takrivu means only that tzibur can bring a korban reshit. Tzibur amarti lecha, velo yachid. Only the tzibur can bring such korbanot. A yachid cannot bring such a korban. So there's no nidvat yachid that can be brought from the shtei alechem or the bikurim. Liyocho lo yehe yachid mevi, sheinu mevi chovato. Maybe the reason a yachid can't bring it is because there's no obligatory offering that is similar to this, so therefore they can't bring it as a voluntary offering. Maybe the tzibur would be entitled to bring a nidava from these items, a voluntary offering for these items, because they bring it as an obligatory offering from these items. The idea would be, according to Rashi, he says, how do you have a manifestation of a voluntary offering of the tzibur? He says, mima'ot shoshofro to him. Those are the monies that are put into the stucca boxes, the ones that we spoke about in the Mishnayot and Shkalim. We've mentioned them numerous times, the 13 shofarot, from things that are leftovers, motar ha-ola, motar ha-sham. They're placed into these stucca boxes, and from them they bring what's called ketzah mizbeach. They bring over the dessert of the mizbeach, the extra korbanot. When the mizbeach was batel, they used to take those monies and bring extra olot. So those are the voluntary offerings of the tzibur. This is Rashi, the Shitato, who believes that tzibur can't bring a voluntary offering of their own volition. It's just if they have these monies that were left over that are in these stucco boxes, they can use them for olot on the Mizbeach. The Ramban disagrees with Rashi in the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, and the Ramban there says that a tzibur could bring a voluntary offering, just period. So according to that, it could just be just a plain voluntary offering. It doesn't have to come out of those excess monies that were left there to bring Kayitz or Kayitz Mizbeach, the extra korbanot on the Mizbeach. But either way, the assumption here would be that a yachid is precluded, but maybe a tzibur should be included. Tamal Omar, otam. That's what the otam is telling you, that it's a miut. Ma yesh lecha levi, shtei lechem min ha-seor, ubikurim min ha-dvash. So that's it. Otam is the only things that you can bring from these items, and that is the shtei lechem that comes from the seor, the bikurim from the dvash. Otherwise, you can't bring them. I mean, only otam can be brought. Nothing else can be brought, even as a voluntary offering of the tzibur. So he uses the word otam to preclude a voluntary offering of the tzibur. So the yachid is precluded because it says takrivu, and then the tzibur is precluded because it says otam. That's the usage of the word otam for Rabbi Yochanan, even though the Baal Tosafot will point out that Rabbi Yochanan had a much easier answer to this question, which is the word otam is used in the Gemara in Zvachim, that otam iatam ale l'reach nichoach, otam ale l'shem itzim. The Rabbanan over there argue with Rabbi Eliezer with regards to what happens if you put on two pieces of a korban. One korban that belongs in the Mizbeach, like evarei ola, and one piece that does not belong in the Mizbeach, like evarei chatat, that are supposed to be eaten by the Kohanim and not the Mizbeach. They're mixed together, can you put them on the Mizbeach? So Rabbi Rabbanan say you can't put them on the Mizbeach, Rabbi Eliezer says you can put them on the Mizbeach. Reason you can put them on the Mizbeach is you look at the Evirei Chatat, Kiilu Hei Meitzim. Look at them as if they are wood that is put on the Mizbeach, and they become part of the pyre rather than that which is burnt on the pyre. The Chachamim disagree and say you can't do that. There's one exception, and they learn it from this word otam. Otam yatam ale l'reach nichoach. The end of the pasuk is v'la mizbeach lo yalu l'reach nichoach. These items cannot be put on the mizbeach as a reach nichoach, as a korban on the mizbeach. But the diuk is they can't be put on as a korban, but they can be put on as etzim. They can't be put on as firewood for the mizbeach. So that is the only place the Chachamim agree that something that is put on the mizbeach that doesn't belong there can be converted into etzim, or you can think of them as like etzim, and that's seor and dvash. They can't be brought as a korban, but if they were mixed with something, they can be put on there and deemed to be as if they are etzim. So that's the only place where they say that diuk, not in every place or any situation. That's how they disagree with Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yochanan could have used the otam for that drosha of the Chachamim. Why doesn't he just answer that? It would be a simple answer. Tosfot over here does not give an answer. Tosfot back in Zvachim asks the same question on this. And he says that Rabbi Yochanan wants to fit even according to Rabbi Eliezer, which is unusual, because why would he want to fit according to Rabbi Eliezer if the Chachamim disagree? The answer is because many places in Shas, it seems that the Gemara takes the position of Rabbi Eliezer as being the primary position. And so therefore it seems almost like we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, or they favor Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. So Rabbi Yochanan, in order to reconcile with Rabbi Eliezer, gives a different reason over here for the word otam, not to be aligned with the Chachamim in that machloket between Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer. Now the Gemara challenges this idea and says, "Ushtei lechem lo yikrivu nidava." Is it really true that the shtei lechem cannot be brought as a nidava? Or the way that the Shita Megubetzet has, that shtei lechem lo karva nidava. Vatanya, don't we have a break though? Im ne'mar, if the pasuk said kol seor, lama ne'mar kol devash. The pasuk has the word kol repeated twice. It could have written the word kol once, and that would have then covered both of the items inside of the pasuk, because it says kichol seor v'chol devash lo taktir mimenu ishel Hashem. It could have just simply written kichol seor v'devash lo taktir mimenu ishel Hashem, kichol seor v'devash lo taktir mimenu. You don't need the word kol repeated; it would have modified both of the words. So that's the nature of the brightest question. V'im ne'mar kol devash, lama ne'mar kol seor? Could have written one or the other. You don't need both of them. Mipnei sheish v'seor mash'ein v'devash v'yesh v'devash. Masha'in b'se'or. That is because se'or and dvash are not exactly equal. Se'or hutar michlalo mikdash. Se'or is permitted in certain instances in the mikdash. Dvash lo hutar michlalo b'mikdash. Dvash is never permitted in the mikdash. Dvash hutar b'sharei mechnachot. On the other hand, dvash has a tzad to it, which is also more unique, or something that is special about dvash, which is that when it comes to the residual of the menachot, the kohanim are allowed to eat dvash. They're allowed to put sweetener on whatever they're eating afterwards. So if they have the sharia mincha that they baked into matzot, they can put honey, or they can dip that in honey, and they can eat that. Seor, lo tar b'sharia menachot. When it comes to seor, that we know already, it says lo tafeh chametz chelkam, that you're not allowed to make the chelik of the kohanim into chametz. So that is a restriction by the sharia aminachot. Ha, mipnei sheyesh b'seor, ma she'ein b'dvash, v'yesh b'dvash, ma she'ein b'seor. So because each one of them has a character trait that is not found in the other, hutzrach lomar. Therefore, it needed to tell you, kol seor, hutzrach lomar, kol d'vash. It needed to have the word kol by both of them, because you would not have extrapolated from one to the other. Just because it says kol seor, you wouldn't have said kol d'vash. Just because it said kol d'vash, you wouldn't have said kol seor, because there's a reason to believe that each one of these is unique. And uniqueness, again, of seor is the fact that seor is hutar michlalo. There is a time where seor is permitted in the mikdash. And there's also a unique aspect of devash, which is devash is permitted in the achilata kohanim, which is not true by the seor. We're about to embark on the explanation for where seor is hutar michlalo in the mikdash. Where do we ever find that chametz is allowed to be brought in the mikdash? Because there's never a time that chametz ends up on the mizbeach. And that's the question of what is hutar michlalo. The two times that chametz are permitted in the mikdash, what is the arba'im chalot of the korban todah? From those arba'im chalot, there are four different types of breads that are there. One of each of those breads is taken off as a truma and given to the kohen. Does not end up on the mizbeach. So that one chala of lechem that's taken off out of the ten is given to the kohen. Doesn't end up on the mizbeach. The shtei alechem that are brought in Shavuot, we just discussed this, are entirely eaten by the Kohanim. They don't end up in Mizbeach. So that's what the Gemara is going to investigate. Where exactly do we have this hutar michlalo that is found in the Mikdash? So that's something we're going to deal with in 1 second. Now, as far as Dvash being permitted in this Sharia Mincha, it's not ever stated explicitly that that's the case, but it's inferred from the fact that the Torah goes out its way to tell you that Chametz is impermissible by the Sharia Mincha. That tells you that you need something to tell you it would otherwise be impermissible. And so therefore, Dvash must be permitted. The Torah tells you that Lo Tefeh Chametz Chalkam never mentions the word Dvash over there. As opposed to over here by the Hakrava and by the Mincha, before the Kometz is taken off, or the Kometz itself going to Mizbeach, it makes it clear that it can't be Seor and it can't be Dvash. Over there it gives you both items. So that's what would permit you then to have Dvash by the Sharia Mincha. Others quote the limud that we're going to have in the Gemara in Chulin is lemoshcha, that the Kohanim are eating it, the moshcha is legudula, that they eat it as royalty, and therefore they can do whatever royalty would do with it in order to eat it or enhance it, and that gives them permission to cook it, bake it, roast it any way they like. It also gives them permission to add items to it, including dvash, which is something that's an enhancer in these situations, and since the Torah doesn't explicitly restricted, therefore the moshcha permits them. So the question of going into the Rishonim, whether you need the moshcha to include it, or even without the moshcha, it's not restricted and therefore it would be permissible. That's why Dvash is permissible. As far as the restriction of Seor and Dvash in the Mikdash, the Rambam, Kedarko Bakodesh, with regards to many of the issues with Korbanot in the Mikdash, in the Mor Nevuchim says that that was the practice of the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. They used to bring Chametz, and they used to bring Dvash as their korbanot, and therefore the Torah restricts those items. The Ramban ala Torah says something similar, of a similar nature, that these were the practices of the Avodah Zarah, or the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. You have to ask the question as to why the practice of the Ovdei Avodah Zarah was such, but because of that, we do not bring Seor and Dvash on the Mizbeach. The other reason given by people is that the Seor and Dvash are things that overwhelm the product or the item that is being brought. Dvash, as a sweetener, sweetens everything that's brought. And therefore, we don't allow for Seor and Dvash because it's mevatel anything else that it's brought with. It overrides anything else it's brought with. And so therefore, it's problematic. Others suggest that that's a problem with the interaction with salt. All korbanot, and that's mentioned in the pasuk immediately afterwards, that there's a brit melach, that you have to put salt on all the korbanot, and the honey or the dvash and the chimutz are somewhat problematic in meshing with the salt. They'll either override it or don't allow the salt to be manifest, and so therefore they're problematic. So again, those are nuanced reasons of a similar nature, whether it's the Seor and dvash are overwhelming or the Seor and dvash prevent the salt from being effective. Either one of those would be a reason not to bring Seor and dvash. There's also a view within the Rishonim that Seor and dvash are not what we call middle-range type of items. And some of them hashkafically take that to mean that Seor and Dvash, because they're overwhelming, are not middle-of-the-range items. We want to put on the Mizbeach things that are balanced. Similar to the Rambam's Shvila Zahav, where people should always be in balance and not too far to one side or the other side, Seor and Dvash represent an extreme of sorts, and that's why we don't want it on the Mizbeach. Seor duhutar michlalo b'migdash ma'ininu. What exactly is this Seor, Hatuhutar Michlalo, in the Mikdash? We already discussed the problems with that. There's no Chametz that ends up on the Mizbeach. Lav Shtei Lechem must be the Shtei Lechem. But we said the Shtei Lechem don't end up on the Mizbeach. What's the only alternative to get the Shtei Lechem on the Mizbeach? The Korva Nidava. That exactly. It's brought as a Nidava. So the Shtei Lechem, Hutar Michlalo, for Nidava, that would go against what Rabbi Yochanan learned from the word Otam, that Otam precluded you from bringing the Shtei Lechem or Seor as a nidava. Amar Rav Amram, lo, li karev imahem. No, that is not the right answer. The answer is, li karev imahem, to be brought along with them. Rashi explains over here, li karev imahem, ashnei kivsei atzeret kamar. It's saying that this is speaking about the shnei kivsei atzeret, to krevim im shtei alechem. They're brought together with the shtei alechem. V'hainu hutra michlalo b'migdash l'karev imahem. Something is brought alongside of them or along with them, which is that there is kivsei atzeret that are joined together with them. They have a relationship, and that relationship makes it that it's as if the Shtei Lechem are ending up on the Mizbeach. Even though the Shtei Lechem themselves don't end up on the Mizbeach, the Kivsei Atzeret end up on the Mizbeach. There is a circumstance where Seor ends up on the Mizbeach, even though Seor never really does end up on the Mizbeach. We view it as if the Seor goes on the Mizbeach. That's the way the Pasuk is actually written. It says that the Korban Reshit Takrivo Otam LaHashem, that they will be brought to Hashem on Mizbeach, Lo Yalul Reach Nechoach. They won't, nothing can be brought on the Mizbeach, but there is this Korban Reshit. But the Shtei Lechem, which are the Korban Reshit, never do end up on the Mizbeach. So what the reference is to is the Reach Nechoach LaHashem, is the Kivsei Atzeret that come with the Shtei Lechem. They end up on the Mizbeach. That's what we had discussed at the beginning of today's daf, that even though they themselves don't end up on the Mizbeach, a part of them, not physically of them, but a part of them, their joint partner, ends up on the Mizbeach, which are the Kivsei Atzeret. If that's the case, then Bikurim also end up on the Mizbeach. That's not, we have a Mishnah in Bikurim. Haguzalot Shagabe Asalim. The birds that were on top of the baskets, Hayu Olot, they were brought as Korbanei Ola. Ve'hasalim Shibiyadam Nitanim the Kohanim. And the baskets in their hands were given to the Kohanim. You can see here there's an alternate girsa in the Masoret HaShas, which is the other possibility in that Mishnah, which is Umashibiyadam. That which is in their hand, Nitanim the Kohanim. In that case, the reference would be two types of birds. There would be birds that were on top of the baskets. Those would be brought as Olot. And then there were birds that they were holding in their hands, and those would go to the Kohanim. The way that the Girsa reads in our Gemara, it says that the birds on top of the baskets would go as Olot, and the Salim, the baskets themselves, were given to the Kohanim, which is the Mishnah in Bikurim, has that famous saying that the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. The poor individuals who brought up wicker baskets, their baskets were given along with the fruits to the Kohanim, and the Kohanim kept the baskets. The rich people who brought up their bikurim in gold and silver utensils, the Kohanim didn't keep those. They were given back to the Balim. That's where the Mishnah gives the expression to the fact that the poor got poorer. They got brought their wicker baskets and the Kohanim keep them. And the rich who bring it up in the gold baskets get to keep their own baskets. But that's from this Mishnah. They are what's called itur habikurim. They are decorative, enhancing. They are crowned to the bikurim. And when they brought out the Bikurim, they used to adorn them with certain items. Part of what they adorned them with were they brought pigeons on top of it, or Torah B'nai Yonah. And those birds were included with the gifting of the Bikurim. But the Bikurim go and have Gashat Mizbeach. Those birds are given as Olot on the Mizbeach. And they have to probably have to tie them down to the baskets or keep them there. That's why there is this, the other Girso, Mashabi Adam. Why were they holding birds in their hands and not on the baskets? Because they didn't want the birds ruining the Bikurim or eat to what was on there. For that reason, they were holding them in their hands, because that would explain how they kept the birds at bay. But that might be why there was two different types of birds. Some birds that stood on top and some birds that were held in their hands, because it wasn't easy to keep the birds on top of the baskets. All right, so now the question is that here you have a Korban that is associated or affiliated with the Bikurim. These Gozalot are put on the Mizbeach. So if you tell me that it's as if the Shtei Lechem end up in his back because the Kivsei Atzeret end up in his back, so it's over here by the Bikurim. It should be as if you put the Bikurim in his back because these birds end up on the Mizbeach. Where it says, Hanu le'ater Bikurim hu da'atu. These are only to enhance or decorate the Bikurim. They are not affiliated or associated with the Bikurim directly. They are a package that comes by chance together, but there's no inherent connection between the items. That's what Rashi says, exactly what you said. Rashi says, Hanachufot velav lechova ninu. They are not obligatory. They do not need to be brought along with the Bikurim. If they happen to be brought with the Bikurim, then they are put on the Mizbeach. If they're not brought with the Bikurim, then they're not put on the Mizbeach. But the mere fact that they can be brought without the birds on them shows you that there's no integral connection between the birds and the Bikurim. As opposed to the Lechem, which we saw earlier, that they are me'akev each other. The Kivsei Atzeret are me'akev the Lechem, and the Shtei Lechem are me'akev the Kivsei Atzeret, even though we saw a Deah that says they're not me'akev each other. We'll deal with that in Tosfot in a second. But nevertheless, you have here a difference in the connection between the Korban and the Shtei Lechem versus the birds and the Bikurim. Alright, so Rashi then raises two issues about this answer of the Gemara. The first of which is, HaBikurim Te'unim Kurban Vishir Ubracha Vilina. The Bikurim require, and this is a chuva, korban. They have to have a korban that's brought with them. Shir, song, ubracha, and then the bracha that comes with them, velina, and you have to stay overnight. They're like a korban, you have to stay overnight. Aminim b'talmud Yerushalmi, the high korban shlamim hu. And Yerushalmi says that this korban is a korban shlamim. It's interesting over here, just because in general, we do not see Rashi quoting the Yerushalmi. And here you see Yerushalmi being quoted, which might be evidence of the fact that whatever commentary is here may not have been Rashi, or this might be an addition afterwards. But anyway, you have here the Yerushalmi telling us the korban that is brought along with the Bikurim is a shlamim. And that maybe is very similar to the shtei alechem. Shtei alechem of kivsei atzer, which a shami tzibur that are brought. Over here we're talking about Bikurim, and there's a shlamim of a yachid that is brought along with the Bikurim. And they learn it out from a pasuk. That's why the Bikurim. So the idea of simcha means that there should be shlamim. V'lav krevim imahem chashiv luhu. Rashi answers, they're not considered to be brought with them. Shloya zukkim ze lazeh levo yachad the migdash. They don't have to be brought together in the migdash. Elo chuvalav lavi shlamim. There's an obligation on the individual to bring the shlamim. So what Rashi notes over here, there's a difference in the nature of the obligation. The kivsei atzeret are an obligation to be brought together with the shtei alechem. They are integrally connected. They are a joint korban that needs to be brought together. Truth is, you do a wave offering with them together. And so there is an inherent dusha and the chetza that joins them together, and they have to be what's called nikva, that they have to be koveya them together. Once you bring the shlamim together with the breads, you can't change them out afterwards once they've been nikva, meaning that there's a certain tie between them. That's not true of the shlamim and the bikurim. There, the shlamim is not an obligation because of the bikurim. It's an obligation on the individual bringing the bikurim. The chuvah stems from the individual, not from the bikurim themselves. The individual who's bringing bikurim now has an obligation to bring a shlamim as well. But it's not the bikurim that are generating the chuvah of the shlamim. He has to bring it that day, but it doesn't have to be brought together. And that's the big difference. Kivsei Atzeret and the shtei alechem are brought together, whereas the shlamim and the bikurim are brought maybe on the same day by the same individual, but they're not necessarily brought together. There's not something that integrally or inherently connects between the two items. They happen to be obligations that devolve upon the individual at the same time. But that doesn't mean they're necessarily connected. That's how Rashi differentiates between these two items. So that's what Tosafot raises, and he says, "Ba'avagav d'shtei alechem nami pamim sheina kvasim imahem." Sometimes the shtei alechem don't have kvasim. The mandamar kvasim ein makvim et alechem. According to the one who says the kvasim are not makvim the lechem, then here's the same situation. The kvasim and lechem happen to be two items that need to be brought on the same day. They're an obligation that happen to devolve at the same moment, but they're not necessarily integrally connected because they're not makvim each other. So Tosafot says, don't you have that same situation? He says, no, there is a difference. There's a difference. Even according to one who says they're not makev each other, if they're both available, you need to bring them together. Even according to one who says they're not makev, okay, if you don't have the kivsei atzeret, you can still bring the shtei alechem. But if you have the kivsei atzeret, they need to be brought together with the shtei alechem. They're not brought separately. And that's really the answer. The answer is that they are a joint obligation that is coming together, and there's no separation between them. They may not be makev each other, but still, if you're going to bring them, they must be brought together. The shlamim and the bikurim, there's no demand that they be brought together. There's a demand that the person bring each of these items, but they're never, ever connected together. Bai Rami Bar Chama, Amei Rav Chista. So Rami Bar Chama questions of Chista. Ma'aleh mi besar chatat ha'of al gabei ha'mizbeach mahu. So here, besar chatat ha'of. Chatat ha'of is one of those korbanot that has nothing that goes on the mizbeach. The dam of the chatat ha'of goes on the mizbeach, but from the goof of the chatat ha'of, nothing ends up on the mizbeach. That is why it can be brought misafek. It's the only korban that can be brought misafek because of the fact that nothing ends up on the mizbeach. Therefore, you can throw out the chatat ha'of in essence because it's a safek and still get the kapara that you need. So this is a bird that is a safek chatat. Is one of those options that you take up. For instance, a yoledet who has a safek, she can bring the chatat misafek. But that's because none of the basar ends up in the mizbeach. So he wants to know, mahu, what is the din with regards to this if it's placed on the mizbeach? Kol shemi menu liyishim amar rachmana. The Torah says something that has a portion that ends up in the mizbeach, then that is restricted from being placed on the mizbeach. Hi, ain mimenu liyishim. But here there's nothing that ends up in the Mizbeach. Odilma, kosh shmo korban. Anything whose name is a korban, v'hainami shmo korban. Anything that's called a korban has this din, and it turns out that the birds are called a korban. We know that from the beginning of Vayikra, it's called a korban by the olat ha'of. So now the pasuk says, kosor v'chod v'ashlutu mimenu yishel Hashem, korban reishit. So the word korban is also juxtaposed to it. So what is the defining factor over here? Is it mimenu yishel Hashem or korban? What is the defining factor that tells you that there is a restriction of lo taktiru? Depending on which way you go, will determine whether a chatat is problematic. Amarlei, kosher shmo korban. So Rav Chista answers him, anything that is a name that has got a korban or shem korban to it, hainami shmo korban, and therefore it's restricted from being placed on the mizbeach, it's covered by lo taktiru. Ketanae, this is similar to machloket tanaim, Rabbi Lezer omer, kosher mimenu yishim, that the defining factor here is any portion of it that ends up in the mizbeach. Rabbi Kiva omer, kosher shmo korban. So here you see exactly this issue, machloket tanaim, as to whether the defining feature, what makes it lo taktiru, is whether a portion may end up in the mizbeach, whether it's called a korban. My benayu. What's the nafkamina between these two reasons? Now obviously, chatat of is one of those differences. So I'm Rav Chista, basar chatat of ika benayu. That's exactly what Rav Chista says. That's the nafkamina between these two positions. And obviously Rav Chista, when he answered Rami Bar Chama, was holding like Rabbi Akiva, that it is based on the shame korban. Rav amar lok shemen shel mitzora ika beinayu. The difference between them is that lok shemen that is brought by the mitzora for the terata mitzora. He brings a lok shemen from which some of it is sprinkled towards the kodesh hakodeshim from by the place where the mitzora is standing, and then after that the residual is given to the kohanim. So none of that ends up on the mizbeach. Nothing from it mimenu yishel Hashem. On the other hand, it's called a korban. It's mentioned by the Terata Mitzorah. It's subsumed under the korban there. It's not put on the Mizbeach, but it is called a korban, as Rashi notes. Like we're going to see later in the Masechta, the Chol Korbanam. That means the Chol Korbanam comes to include the Rabot, Log Shemen Shel Mitzorah. Log Shemen Shel Mitzorah is included in those items that are the Matnot Kuhuna, and it's included from the word, the Chol Korbanam. And so you see, it's subsumed under the category of korban. Rashi here asks a very strong question. Rashi says, don't ask v'ikasha, harev karev mimenu. There is something from the oil that ends up on the mizbech. That is the asham mitzora that comes with it. You just told me that when it comes to the kivsei atzeret and the shtei alechem, even though the shtei alechem themselves don't end up in the mizbech, because the kivsei atzeret end up in the mizbech, that's as if the shtei alechem ended up in the mizbech. So the log shemen of the mitzorah comes with the asham mitzorah. And the asham mitzorah does end up on the mizbeach. So why isn't it deemed as if the log shemen has a piece of it or a portion of it that's put on the mizbeach? Yishim, k'shtei alechem mishum kvasim, says halokasha. Da asham lo shayach v'hadi log legamre. They are not totally connected. Da adam mevi ashamo akshav, v'lo go ad asara yamim. Because an individual could bring their asham today, and bring the log shemen 10 days later, some other time. It does not need to be brought together. So this is what goes back to what we saw was the definition of why the kivsei atzeret and the shtei alechem are considered to be part and parcel of each other, is because they must be brought together, and they are me'akev each other. And even according to one who says they aren't me'akev each other, if they're both available, they must be brought together. That's not true by the asham mitzorah and the log shemen. The Asham Mitzorah and Log Shemen, even if he has both of them, he does not need to bring the Log Shemen at the same time he brings the Asham Mitzorah. They are brought together, they have a connection, there's an association between them, but they're not obligatory or not inherently connected. They're not ma'akev each other. And for that reason, it's not considered as if a portion of the Log Shemen ends up on the Mizbeach. As well as Tosfot says, that the difference also is that by Kivsei Atzeret, once you're Koveya, the breads to be associated with the kivsei atzeret, let's assume that happens at shchita. We saw earlier in the Masechta discussion as to when that happens. But if that happens at shchita, whatever part of the process that happens, where the breads now are connected to the kivsei atzeret, you can't swap out the breads anymore. They're now connected to this keves, and they cannot be changed. Av lo shamen lo kvu elo the Rabbi Meir. Only Rabbi Meir believes that when you shech the asham mitzora, that locks in the lo shamen. But everybody else believes you can switch out the lo shamin. It's not connected to the asham. Even after you shech the asham, that does not koveya that this is the lo shamin. The lo shamin is nikva, either the sprinklings that you do, not by the animal or the korban that is brought with it. So Tosafot points out, that's another difference between them, why the lo shamin would be different than the shtei halechem. All right, Tan Rabbanan. Se'or bal taktiru, in the ala kulo. That's only true of all of it. Mifsato minayin. How do I know a portion of it is also restricted? Tamalomar kol. That's why you have the word kol in the pasuk. Eruveo minayin. How do I know when it's mixed up with something else that it's also restricted? Tamalomar ki kol. That's the pasuk that we've been reading all along. Ki kol soor v'chol devash lo taktiru mimenu ishe l'Hashem. So now you have the word soor and devash. Those by themselves would have told you that each of those items are restricted. What is kol soor, kol devash? That comes to include something more than soor and devash, which means even if you have mixato, even if you only have a portion of it, we'll have to discuss what that means. And then what about the word ki, which is an additional riboy? Ki comes to include a ruvo when it's mixed with something else. My kamar, what is meant by this braita? Machloket amoraim, as that to explain this. Amar abaye achi kamar, this is what it's meant. Soor, bebal taktiru. Soor you may not put on mizbech. That's only true if you bring something with a requisite shiur. Chatzi zayit minayin. How do I know if you bring a half kizayit, you're still under that restriction? Tamalomar kol. Kol is a riboy that says even if you're below the threshold of a kizayit, you're still chayav. Eruvo minayin. How do I know if it's mixed in with something else that also is restricted? Tamalomar ki kol. That is a bayis explanation of the braita. Rova amar, hochik amar. This is what it means. Soor bal taktiru. You're not allowed to put soor on the mizbeach. Ein le'ala kometz. That is only a kometz worth of soor, because the reference here is to a situation or a circumstance where we're speaking about a mincha, and the portion of a mincha that ends up on the mizbeach is the kometz. The kometz ends up on the mizbeach, the restriction against a kometz-size worth of chametz being put on the mizbeach. Chatzi kometz minayin. How do I know that a half kometz is also restricted? Tamadomar kol. That's what the kol is. Eruvo minayin. A mixture of these items. How do we know they're also restricted? Tamadomar ki kol. That's what ki kol comes to teach you. Gamay kamiflege. What is the machloket between Abaye and Rava? It goes back to a machloket that we saw earlier in the Masechta, back on Daf Chovav, which is Abaye savar yesh kometz pachot mishnei zeitim. That a person's fistful, the three fingers, the kometz that we learned about before, can be less than two zeitim. If you remember, the Mishnah said, pamayim ksheira. If you put a kometz on the zveach in two parts, it is ksheira. The question in that Mishnah, that's what was being discussed back on Chavav Amud Bet, was what is the nature of those two parts that are being placed on the mizbeach? Well, that depends on what you think the size of a kometz is. The size of a kometz will then determine what you think two parts of a kometz are. So that's what Abaye is saying. Abaye is saying that a kometz can have less than two zeitim in it. If it has less than two zeitim in it, then mixato means that when you split it, it's going to have less than a zayit in those smaller portions. That means that you could have something put on the mizbeach that is less than a kizayit. And that's what he says. Ve'yesh haktara pchuta mikizayit. Since there's a haktara less than a kizayit, therefore less than a kizayit is a shiur that is relevant in haktara. And that's what's meant here in the pasuk. Soor means that you met the requisite kezayit threshold. Kol soor tells you that even when you're below that requisite kezayit, you're still problematic. That's because haktara, less than a kezayit, is meaningful. And since that's meaningful, if you put it in with soor, kol soor, you're going to be in trouble for that. Then, ki kol soor teaches you that even a mashu, even the smallest amount, is problematic. It doesn't just have to be a chatzi kezayit. It could be even the minute amount. And therefore, eruvo, if it's mixed in with anything, it's going to be a problem if you put it on the mizbeach. Rav amar, ein kometz pachot mishnei zeitim. There's no such thing as a kometz that contains within it a volume of less than two kizayit. If that's the case, when you put on the mizbeach, the maximum you can split it is into two. If you can split it into two, that means each portion has a minimum of a kizayit in it, because the minimum amount of a kometz is two kizayitim. If you split that in half, you have at least a kizayit in each piece. There's no such thing as aktara, less than one kizayit. If that's the case, then his first run at soor being restricted is a kometz worth. His next random kol komets is half a komets. Half a komets will be at minimum a kezayit. So that's what he's teaching you. Then kikol comes to teach you a ruvo. When it's mixed in with something else, it is still problematic. Now that's a little bit nebulous. What does it mean that a ruvo is problematic? So Tosafot over here brings that the chiddush here for ruvo is v'nira lefaresh iziri savar heter mitzaref leisur dorash kiruvo. This is based on a Gemara in Psochim that Rashi explains differently over there, who says that Ziri is following Abaye. Tosafot says he thinks Rashi is incorrect in explaining it that way. And the real way to explain it is that Ziri is following the Shita of Rova. The Shita of Rova over here, which is the Mixato, Hainu Chatzi Kometz, Shehu Zayit Shalem, Umarabile Mikol, Ve'eruvo. Then Eruvo for Rova is Hainu Chatzi Kazayit Heter, Ve'chatzi Zayit Isur. Rava says the minimum amount for you to be chayav is a kezayit. So then how can he talk about an eruv of an item and still be chayav? Well, the eruv is comprised of a chatzi zayit of isur and a chatzi zayit of heter. So what's the chiddush of Rava? That heter is mitzaref the isur. That is exactly what's included. He can't hold like Abaye, because Abaye, that merabe eruvin, that's a case where the Isur is mixed up totally with the Heter. So even though the Isur is overwhelmed by the Heter, we still say that the Isur has substance to it, and it's not nit batel ayved Isur. That's the Chiddush of Abaye. Abaye says, first of all, you can have a Kezayit is Asur. Chatzi Kezayit is Asur. He's already telling you that less than Shiur is Asur. So then anything less than shiur is going to be chayav. You don't need a heter mitzaref isur to reach a threshold. There is no threshold, even less than a kezayit. So what's the chiddush of eruvo? That we don't say it's batel to the heter. A rova who requires a minimum shiur to be chayav, because only a kezayit worth of akhtara you are chayav for. Therefore, according to rova, either you have a komets worth, which would be at least two kezayitim worth, or you have a chatzi komets, which is what you learn from the word kol, that meets the minimum threshold of a kezayit, then you have eruvo. But eruvo still has to be a kezayit's worth. How do you get to your kezayit be'eruvo? Heter mitzaref the isur. When you have isur and heter mixed together, the heter joins the isur and turns into isur, and the whole thing is viewed, that mixture is viewed as a mixture of isur, and therefore it meets the threshold of a kezayit. And that's the chiddush of Rav over here, that kikol be'eruvo means that the kezayit threshold that you need is met by isur and heter that are mitzaref together. The classic case of heter mitzaref isur by a nazir. He takes a piece of challah, dips it in wine. Over there we say that the challah is mitzaref with the wine to make the shiur that he needs to be in violation. The bread is not isur, but that's called heter mitzaref isur. Similarly over here, heter mitzaref isur is when the isur, of course, has to influence the heter. Can't be that the heter overwhelms the isur and you say heter mitzaref the isur. Heter mitzaref the isur is where the isur is the bigger or the more influential of the two, and then it changes the heter into the isur because it either flavors it or because of its nature that it overwhelms the heter, and then the heter takes on the properties of the isur and it becomes heter mitzaref the isur. Rashi disagrees with this and says that the chiddush of Rava is the Rava. He called the Meimar, that the chiddush is that even if you can't tell that it's there because it's been mixed up. So according to Rashi, it seems like you would still need a kezayit worth of isur in the mixture, but it's just mixed. So you can't see it. It's not clearly defined. And that's the chiddush of Rava. Tosafot says, no, the chiddush of Rava is that there is only a kezayit worth, but it's mixed of heter and isur, and heter mitzaref the isur, and that's the chiddush of Rava over here. That's exactly the difference. According to Tosafot, according to Abaye, it says that even the minute amount is not in batel. According to Rova, the feet Tosafot, you need to have enough Isur there that it would not mean mitbatel the heter, it would actually be the opposite, that Isur is mitbatel the heter. So that's right. That's the difference between Abaye and Rova according to the Balei Tosafot as to what the nature of the Isur is. Can the Isur survive the heter? Or does the Isur have to influence the heter? That would be the difference between them. As to whether Rova believes that also a chatzi shiur like Abaye is asur min haTorah, will then be subject to the machloket Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish in the last perek in Masechet Yoma. And as to the application of chatzi shiur min haTorah, whether, like the Chacham Tzvi says over there, it's only applicable to divrei achila, not items or other isurim, so then it wouldn't have application over here. Or whether it's only a din in chulin, not a din in kodoshim, so then it also would not have application over here. Or if it's a more generic rule, and therefore would have application over here, it would still be a sur min haTorah, but obviously would not get malkot for it because it is a chatzi shiur. So now we move on to the more difficult part of the daf, which is itmar. Hama'ale misor udvash al gabi ha-mizbeach. Someone who puts both seor and devash on the mizbeach. Amar Rava, loke mishum seor, the loke mishum devash. You get malkot for the isur of seor. You get malkot for the isur of devash. The loke mishum eruvei seor umishum eruvei devash. You also get malkot for the mixture of seor and a mixture of devash. Or in essence, what it looks like on the surface is you get four sets of malkot for this scenario. What is the scenario? Rashi claims the scenario is that you brought a mixture of devash and you made a mixture of seor, or even more simply, you had seor and devash mixed together. So now you have seor and devash mixed together. What the suggestion according to Rashi would be, this is a simple reading of Rashi, is that you're chayav for the isur of seor by itself. You're chayav for an isur of devash by itself, but you're also chayav for the kol, the riboy, that says that you're also chayav when you mix seor with something else. You're also chayav when you mix devash with something else. So you end up with four sets of malkot because of the standalone isur and the eruvo and the mixed isur. That's Rashi's view. The Baalei Tosafot are not comfortable with this. They say it can't be that when they're mixed together that you get malkot for the mixture and for the whole item. And therefore the Baalei Tosafot say actually there were three items that were put on here simultaneously. There was seor by itself put on, devash by itself went on, and then a mixture of seor and devash that were put on the mizbeach. And there you're chayav for seor by itself, one malkot, for devash by itself, one set of malkot, and then for seor and devash together, you're chayav two sets of malkot, one for seor mixture and one for a devash mixture. Baalei Tosafot and Rashi argue about the exact details, but they both agree that you get four sets of malkot over here. Abaye amar, ein lokim alav shebichlalot. You don't get malkot for alav shebichlalot. And the Gemara doesn't know what that means, and it says, Ikadamre, chadohu mi aloki. Some say you do get one set of malkot, you don't get two. Ikadamre, chadanami lo loki. Then not even one set of malkot you get. Ta'alo mi yached lavei kalav de chasima. Because it's not a defined lav, like the lav of chasima. Chasima is the pasuk that's found in Parshat Ki Teitzeh, which is lo tachsom shor b'disho. You're not allowed to muzzle an animal while they are working. That's true of any animal. It's not just the shor. You're not allowed to muzzle them while they're working with finished product that they could eat. That is juxtaposed to the parshiyat. Actually, in the middle of a pasuk that's speaking about giving malkot, that the shoftim will give the individual malkot, and then it parlays into lo tachsom shor b'disho. For that reason, it becomes the paradigmatic lav. Any lav that looks like lo tachsom shor b'disho gets malkot. So for instance, it's a plain lav. It's not a lav in itak le'aseh. Therefore, any lav in itak le'aseh is not subject to malkot, because it doesn't look like the lav of chasima. So Abaye is saying, according to this second view, that the lav of chasima also tells you it has to be a defined lav. Can't be in a lav that has an amorphous explanation or includes many different items. That's a lav shebichlalot, and therefore you don't get malkot for such a lav shebichlalot. Lav shebichlalot has different definitions in different places in Shas, which is part of what makes this a little difficult. That is, there are different manifestations. One, for instance, the classic lav shebichlalot, is something lo tochlu al adam. It's a pasuk that's found in the Sefer Devarim, where it says, lo tochlu al adam, you can't eat. The real meaning of the pasuk seems to be, you can't eat before the dam ends up on the mizbeach. The kohanim are precluded, or the mizbeach is precluded from having the korban before the dam ends up on the mizbeach. Chazal learn a number of limudim from this, including the fact that you're not allowed to eat before davening. They say over there, lo tochlo ad shitpalu adimchem, that you're not allowed to eat before you prayed for your own blood. So the Chazal have, from that lo tochlo adam, they learn many different lavin, which have nothing to do with each other. That is a lav shebichlalot, and that lav shebichlalot, everybody agrees you won't get malkot for any of the manifestations. Since all of them are disparate and different, it is a lav that includes many different items, and it's different than your classic lav, and you won't get malkot for it. Now Rashi makes it clear here, and this is an important distinction, that many times we have a lav that includes multiple items. For instance, by a kohen, in the beginning of Parshat Emor, it tells you that a kohen is not allowed to marry a grusha, a chalala, and zona. It mentions all three of those items. Isha, zona, v'chalala, lo yikachu. V'isha, grusha, mi'isha, lo yikachu. So that zona, chalala, lo yikachu. The lo yikachu is going back both on the zona and the chalala. And then there's another lo yikachu, isha, grusha, mi'isha. So as you noted, if he marries someone who is a grusha, chalala, and zona, he will be chayav three sets of makot, and we don't call that a lav shibichlalot, because each item is clearly defined in the pasuk. And as the Ramban notes, there's actually additional items included in that hierarchy, which is what we mentioned already, lo tochlu al adam, which includes disparate items. Everybody agrees is a lav shibichlalot, that you don't get makot. There are others where it's mifareit, the items. Each one of those items you're going to be chayav malkot for because they are enumerated. That we gave the example by the Kohen in Parshat Temor. And in our psukim over here, the same thing of kichos le'or v'chol devash, lo tuktiru imenu yishe le'ashem. It's clear there that you're going to get malkot on the se'or and the devash. Then there is a third type of lav shebichlalot, which is a case where you have both the pirut and you have a lav kolel. So that comes up by psukim that you're not allowed to eat it now mivushal. But you're also ki'im sliyesh. The ki'im sliyesh, there is a lav shebichlalot. It's where there's an undefined aspect of the pasuk. Ki'im sliyesh. Ki'im sliyesh tells you that it must be roasted. But must be roasted as opposed to, well, as opposed to could be any number of items, as opposed to raw, as opposed to cook, as opposed to put in chamei tveria. There are many different ways to explain it, and that becomes what's called a lav shebichlalot. In addition, you also have it by the nazir. Where it says, "Kol yemei nizro mikol hashei yaseh migefen hayayin mechartzanim v'adzag lo yochel." So you have chartzanim and zag, which are pirut, but you have mikol hashei yaseh migefen hayayin, which is a kolel, and that is another type of lav shebichlalot. And that's the case also where there is no malkot for that lav shebichlalot because it's already included in the pirut that is mentioned there. How you deal with the interplay between those individual items and the lav kolel is the machloket rishonim, which I've sent to you between Rashi, the Bali Tosfot, the Rambam, and the Ramban, how to view that lashon kolel. Our lav shebichlalot, in our instance over here, of kol se'or chol devash, is slightly different, because there is se'or and devash, which are individually enumerated, and then there's kol se'or and kol devash, which includes things that are even, quote-unquote, derivatives of se'or and devash. That means, whether it means a chatzi shiur, or whether it means a ruvo, something that's mixed in, then it's subsumed under the title of the primary item of se'or and devash. And so that's a lav shebichlalot that is slightly different than the lav shebichlalot that we find by Pesach and by the Nazir. Therefore over here, the Rishonim are generally more aligned with their view as to the number of malkot that you're going to get over here. The question is, with regards to a lav shebichlalot and this position of Abayi, do you get one set of malkot, not two? Or do you get none at all? Those are the two opinions over here. Now, the complexity of this revolves around the problem that, first of all, Abaye and Rava are mentioned here. Abaye of the opinion that there's no din of lav shebichlalot. Rava of the opinion that you do get malkot for lav shebichlalot. As the bottom Tosfot points out, this is a sugya that appears in numerous places in Shas with regards to different manifestations. We said Korban HaPesach, by Nazir, by Boba Metzia, with regards to Mashkon from an Almanah, it appears in a number of these places. Sometimes Rava has this opinion, sometimes Abaye has this opinion. Tosfot comes up with a concept that is used by many of the Rishonim that's called Sugyot Hafuchot. Sugyot that are flipped in different places in Shas. You have the exact same Sugya in two places in Shas, and the attribution is reversed. Abaye, in this case, it's Abaye saying that it's a lav shebichlalot, and Rava saying that it's not a problem. And in other places in Shas, you have just the opposite, that Abaye is of the opinion that you get all the malkot, and Rava says it's a lav shebichlalot. You can see that in the Masorah Shas, that he quotes on the side. Girsah HaKesef Mishnah. The Girsah of the Kesef Mishnah in this Gemara over here is that Abaye is the one who says he's loke, and Rava is the one who says lav shebichlalot. That's based on the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvot, where he describes that all these sugyot, Rava is the one who believes that it's a lav shebichlalot is problematic. It has a big nafkamina, because when we have a machloket Abaye and Rava, we paskin like Rava. So depending where you see Rava as the author of the position, that's going to determine how you paskin. So the Rambam, who paskins like Rava, says that Rava is always of the opinion that it's a lav shebichlalot, and that's what's being noted here. The Kesef Mishnah His commentary on the Rambam says the girsa over here is flipped from the girsa that we have to match it up with the other places where Rava is the one who says that there's no din of lashon bechlalot. You have to be aware of that. This same machloket is brought in different manifestations, and sometimes it's Abaye and sometimes it's Rava. Their positions are flipped. That's one. Number two is, what is the meaning of the fact that you have a lav shebichlalot? What is the impact of that, for instance, in this scenario? So we said before, according to Rashi and Tosafot, you would get a malkot, depending on what the circumstance is. Let's use Tosafot's circumstance. You have honey by itself, you have sour by itself, and then you have a mixture of the two of them. According to Rova, you get four sets of malkot, one for sour alone, one for dvash alone, and then two for the mixture. One for a mixture of dvash, one for a mixture of sour. So then, Abaye comes along and says, no, that's a lav shebichlalot. And a lav shebichlalot, you don't get malkot for. What does that mean, you don't get malkot? So we have two opinions in the Gemara. Either you don't get two sets of malkot, or you don't get even one set of malkot. So that would mean, according to the first view in Abaye, you get one for the sour, one for the dvash, and then one for the mixture together. You can't get more than one set of malkot for the same statement. Kol here includes an eruv. And the kol dvash and kol sour are just a mixture of them two together. You can't get a malkot, both for the mixture of sour and a mixture of dvash. The mixture together gets you one set of malkot, no more than that. That's because it's a lav shebichlalot. Or the second view is that a lav shebichlalot doesn't get malkot at all. That means that you only get one for the sour by itself, one for the dvash by itself. The kol, the eruvo, you're not going to get any malkot for it. Not for dvash and not for sour. According to Rashi, it's even a bigger chiddush. All was brought was sour and dvash mixed together. That was all that was brought in Mizbeach. So according to Rabbi, you get four sets of malkot for that. Sour, dvash, mixture of sour, mixture of dvash. Abaye comes along and says, that's a lav shebichlalot. So according to that, that same mixture, according to Abaye, will get one for sour, one for dvash. V'amaktire ruvei sour, ika sour ve'ruvan, lolaki alachada. You're only going to get one malkot for that. V'chein chada mishumei ruvei dvash. And one for eruv dvash. V'afagav the sour ve'ruvan mitre mine. Even though sour and its mixture are two different types, you still only get one set of malkot. You can't have both. You can't have dvash and eruvei dvash. You can't have sour and eruvei sour. According to the second view, Abaye, for nothing, he says, "Ein kan lav miyuchad." There's nothing defined over here, and therefore you're not going to get malkot. Not on the dvash by itself, not on the sour by itself, and not a tarovit of sour and dvash. And all the lavim are considered to be a lav shebichlalot, because kol sour includes sour and eruvei sour, and kol dvash includes dvash and eruvei dvash, and that makes the entire thing into a lav shebichlalot, and therefore there's no malkot here whatsoever. But that is a bigger chiddush. According to Rashi, Tosafot is unwilling to accept that as the scenario over here. So in that way, you have this machloket. The machloket becomes more difficult or more complex, for instance, by the case of the Korban of Pesach, where you have other manifestations, which is as you can't have bishul, you can't have na, but you can ki'im sliyesh. You have to have sliyesh. But ki'im sliyesh could exclude something besides bishul and na. It could exclude what the Gemara there calls chamei tveria. You put it into the hot springs and you cooked it that way. It's not bishul and it's also not na, but it's chamei tveria. So then when we say lav shebichlalot, does lav shebichlalot mean that you get no malkot for chamei tveria, but you still get it for bishul and na? Or does it mean that you don't even get it for bishul and na? So I sent out a chart that lists the opinions of Rashi, the Balei Tosafot, Rambam, and the Ramban. The Rambam and the Ramban are found in the Sefer Mitzvot and Shorish Tet, where they explain the background and the principles of lav shebichlalot. And over there you have a big machlok between the Rambam and the Ramban as to how to explain lav shebichlalot and the implications of that. And that is important to understanding this. So Tosafot over here says, Abaye says, "En lokim alavin shebichlalot, ika damrei chada mi'aloti." So that's the first view over here, that you still get one set of malkot. Perisham bakunches. Rashi explains in the Gemara Pesachim, kagon chai ubechamei tveria. It's completely raw, or if it's put into chamei tveria, this goes back to what I noted before, that na doesn't mean completely raw, na means partially cooked. So then, that would be chayav mishum kiim sliyesh. You're chayav mishliyesh. Bekasha le Rabbeinu Tam. The Rabbeinu Tam says that's not right, because kiim sliyesh, according to the Gemara there, it does not have an Isur Malkot associated with it whatsoever. Umefaresh hachi, Rabbeinu Tam explains this. Achal na lokeshtayim. If you eat it raw, or na really means partially cooked, you get two sets of Malkot. Im hitrum bo mishum na, umishum sliyesh. If you get hatra for na, and for Kim Sliish. Mivushal. If you eat it cooked, then you get two malkot. If you give hatra'ah for mivushal and mishum kliish. Na'u mivushal. If you have it for na'en mivushal, lokeh shalosh. You get three. Imichu bo mishum shloshtan. Abaye amar, detarte lo loki. You can't get two sets of malkot. So therefore, he warned the guy not to eat it na', not to eat it mivushal, not to eat it kim sliish. You can't get duplicate malkot over there. He says that the Rabbeinu Tam believes that Kiyim Tzliyesh can give you Malkot if it's by itself the Hatra'ah. But Kiyim Tzliyesh with Na, Kiyim Tzliyesh with Mivushal, you can't give duplicate set of Malkot because that's a Lav Shebuchlalot, because subsumed under Kiyim Tzliyesh is Na and Mivushal. So they can't be two separate sets of Malkot, they're the same set of Malkot. So you take your choice. Either give it to him for Na or Kiyim Tzliyesh. Or you give it to him for Mivushal, or Kiyim Tzliyesh. You can't give it to him for both of them. So that's how the Baalei Tosafot, in the view of the Rabbeinu Tam, explained this view of Abaye, that you get one set of Malkot. The one set of Malkot is you get to choose which Hatra'ah you give him. Do you give him the Hatra'ah for the Bnah? Give me it for the Mivushal? Or are you giving it to him for Kiyim Tzliyesh? You take your pick as to what you want to give it to him for. Our case over here, it can't be explained exactly like the Rabbeinu Tam, because here the items are separate, the Seor by itself, and the mixture separately. Over here you should get two sets of Malkot, both for the Seor and for the Eruvei Seor, because they're two separate items that end up on the Mizbeach. The fact that you don't get duplicate malkot is you don't get it for both eruvei sor and eruvei devash el achada, but only for one of them. Or the second view is that Allah Shukhalot doesn't get malkot at all. That means that you only get one for the sor by itself, one for the devash by itself. The kol, the eruvo, you're not going to get any malkot for, not for devash and not for sor. And the Ramban in the Sefer Mitzvot seems very similar to the Baalei Tosafot. The much bigger Chiddush comes in the Rambam, who says in Perek Hey Misurei Mizbeach Halach Aleph, Sor Dvash Asurim Negavei Mizbeach Bisuran Bekoshehein. And then Ve'echad Amatir Atzman O Matir Taruvet Shelem Loke Al Kol Echad Mehem Bifnei Atzmo. So you put on Seor, you put on Dvash, whether it's Eruv Dvash, Eruv Seor, each one of those independently will end up with a set of Malkot. If he puts on both Seor and Devash, or Tarovit Seor and Tarovit Devash together, because they're all considered to be a single lav, because there's only one Lo Taktiru over there, and therefore you get only one Malkot for both Devash and for Seor. Each one independently, whether it's a full Seor, full Devash, or Tarovit Devash, Tarovit Seor will gain Malkot, but if you have any mixture of Seor and Devash together, you still will only get one set of Malkot for that combination. Alright, we're going to stop here at the bottom of Nunchet Amud Bet.